Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. It's Ann Ortley with my weekly weather report for the week of May 11th, 2009. And I'm sitting here at the Upper East Side on a beautiful sunny Monday. You know, we're going to talk to you about the weekly weather and what it's about. And this is an audio version of my column that appears on my website, annortley.com or astroann.com. So you're going to feel a bit like a cosmic ping pong ball this week. Have you ever watched professional ping pong ball players in a heated game? The ball flies so fast back and forth over that net. The ball is so fast you can't even see it. Ping pong is so much about hand-eye coordination and sensing where you have to be to return the ball. As a ping pong spectator, you kind of know where the ball was based on where the ping pong paddles and the players are. As a ping pong player, you move to where the ball is going to be by instinct and training. Zoom, zoom, zip, swish. As the ping pong ball itself, you are trying hard just to hold on to your head and stay in the game as you get smashed back and forth between a set of paddles. As is often the case with my astrological metaphors, some weeks you alternate as the spectator, player, and the ball. This will be one of those kind of weeks. Expect all three roles, as the week features a lot of twisty, turny energy, speedy returns, reversals, double bounces, as the planets bounce above in the heavens above. We're still working with the double negative issues from last week, retrograde Mercury and retrograde Saturn, ruled by retrograde Mercury, in trickster Gemini. So continue to watch what is said, as well as what is not said. Both are important and contain clues, information, and things you need to pay attention to. Information is also contained in the spaces of things not said. Mercury is retrograde. He is retrograde in Gemini until Wednesday, when he shifts into Taurus. Gemini is the sign of the trickster, reversals, cons, and a con artist. Expect that kind of energy. You might want to con someone, or they might want to con you. It's a week of changing your mind or direction. When Mercury gets into Taurus after Wednesday, he becomes firmer and more solid in his decisions, right or wrong. He's now fixed in making calls. In the early part of the week, he's wild, just completely wild. After Wednesday, he's not nearly so hurly-burly, whirly-swirly, and flitting all over the place as he is right now. Next up, Saturn is stationing at 1455 Virgo. All week long, Saturn is grinding into that degree, stopping, pushing, straining, and poking at stuff in your Virgo house. The story from the last week of September 2008 is back in your life. The story from September 2001 is alive, too. It's time to finish up those chapters and move forward. Saturn moved forward until the end of December, when he stopped to go back and redo or reconsider the decisions he made in late September. Now Saturn's back at the degree that he was at late September 2008. It's time to think about what you've done for the past 8 months and see what you want to change or perhaps not change. Incorporate what was going on for you in September of 2001 into your thoughts and your plans. After Saturn turns direct, on Saturn's day, this Saturday, he's going to charge full steam ahead right out of Virgo and into Libra. He'll be done. So done with all this Virgo business. So push to finish up outstanding projects and jobs this week so you're ready to move forward when Saturn does on Saturday. Saturn stations present us with a life-altering experience, a choice, a decision point, a life-changing moment. People get sick, they die, they break up, they leave us, we leave them, we quit our jobs, we decide on our medical school, we launch our businesses, we say never again and start to move on with our lives. Expect that kind of energy in your Virgo house this week. As the final chapter closes, we find the book ends. The book will go up onto the shelf next week. This week you might reread your favorite parts or perhaps reread the scary parts again. But the book is essentially ending as you turn the final pages this week. Jupiter, Neptune, and Chiron all get closer and closer and closer, preparing for the first of their upcoming unions at the end of the month. They will start a new 13, 14, and 84-year cycle this year around your deeper soul's hopes, wounds, and dreams, where you want to expand your life, heal, and evolve to have your life grow in combination with creativity, community, love given, and love received. This week, both the Sun and Mercury waltz, shimmy, and dance with Jupiter, Neptune, and Chiron, while Venus fights with, stresses over, or is blindsided by them. Here's where the ping pong ball comes in. You've got the double negative reversals of Mercury and Saturn. You've got Saturn stopping, getting ready for the last part of his Virgo gig. Saturn station means whatever happens this week is life-altering and probably very, very permanent. Neptune, Jupiter, and Chiron, acting in unison, are going to make the emotional and physical ping-pong game fly all over the place and be virtually unseeable as you careen like a ping-pong ball from emotional paddle to logical paddle to reversal paddle to whack, 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 change, change, change. Be lighter than air and just float with all the air changes, reversals, and seeming invisibility of it all. There is a game going on, even if you can't see it so good. In my readings for the past year or so, I've been saying to people, wait until May. You'll know what to do in May. It'll be clear in May. The bottom of the financial collapse will take place in May. And here we are. It's May. So as we approach the clearing, cleaning, and crystallizing energy of May, make sure to focus on what you became clear about during Venus's retrograde in February, March, and April. Hold on to that. It's your ping pong paddle. Use that ping pong paddle to guide you as you enter the final chapters taking place right now. It's time to move forward. As a player in the game of your life, know that what your Venus desires are and focus on that goal. The rest is supportive energy. Time for the game to start. If you're an observer of the ping pong game, don't watch the other people's games and think about what's going to happen to you or let it choke you up or stop you from playing your best game. Don't compare yourself unfavorably to them. That is their game. Focus on your game. If watching them makes you nervous, don't watch them. If you can be detached and observant, but not self-critical, stay and watch to see what you learn, because you can always learn something from watching somebody else. But only if you can be detached and observant. Otherwise, politely excuse yourself and leave the room. If it isn't helpful to your process, best to let them handle it on their own. If you don't know if it will be helpful or not helpful to watch, assume it will not be helpful. It is Saturn stationing and Mercury retrograde. Go play ping pong against the wall by yourself to get ready for your game. You can always watch the highlighted video of their game on YouTube next week. All right, everybody clear on that? Depends on if you're the ball, the spectator, or the player, and you're going to switch between all three. Monday, Mars has a Scorpio-type psychological adjusting aspect with Saturn as he moves in conjunct to him. Expect Saturn station news around sex, death, or taxes, or items which involve a psychological adjustment. Moon in Sagittarius makes the information a bit more blunt and plain-spoken than you might like. Don't shoot the messenger. Notice the message. Mercury fights with Mars by Earth aspect declination, so news can foster a sudden desire to take action. Mars has a supportive aspect to the North Node. Yes, go ahead, take the action, but keep your wits about you. The ping pong ball is in play. Tuesday, Mercury is one of the most clairvoyant, clear-seeing, intuitive, psychic, and observant degrees in the zodiac. The Sabian image is a glass-bottomed boat which reveals undersea wonders. This symbol speaks of being able to see within to forms that are not usually observed. Pay attention to Mercury's message to get to the heart of things that are normally clouded or obscured. Mercury has piles of aspects, watching from across the room or playing field. You can anticipate exactly where the ping pong ball is going to go without even looking. Pay attention to all the patterns before you, even if you aren't 100% sure what they mean. They will become clearer. Mercury argues with Uranus and Jupiter on Tuesday, so expect unexpected news that is still somehow makes sense. This is a wow kind of day. Mercury also argues with volatile Mars. He sees it and gets it. He tries to warn Mars not to go off half-cocked. No way of knowing if Mars gets what Mercury says. Avoid unnecessary conflict today. Venus is joined with Neptune, so desires merge with dreams. Focus on what you became clear about during Venus's recent retrograde journey. Has any of that changed? Has any of that been modified? What are your desires, your dreams, and your hopes? What do you want for the next 8 years of your life in the Venus-ruled areas of your chart, the Taurus and the Libra houses? What have you learned about the principles of following your desires during the last 8-year cycle? What will you take forward with you during the next 8-year cycle? Focus on the story from last fall and from 9/11. What's the tie? How does the tie move you forward? What is your work around this issue? How does Saturn stopping and pushing in the hard places help? Let the ping pong balls fly. On Wednesday, Mercury is still on one of the most clairvoyant, clear-seeing, intuitive, psychic, and observant degrees in the entire zodiac. Your glass-bottom boat gives you the ability to cut past the uneven, moving, or crappy surface appearances to get at what is real, what is actually there, even if from a distant or somewhat uninvolved perspective. So you're looking at the ocean's bottom through the glass below you. What do you see? Venus helps you notice the abundance that is part of the story. Mercury has another bundle of aspects. Today he talks with Venus and Neptune from across the heavens. He enters Taurus going retrograde, and he notices what he desires was captured by Venus and Neptune. Say what you want today to the heavens. Make it free of a tie to any person or thing and tie it to your higher good. Something like, I'd love a bit of love and a partnership in service of my higher good. Give the universe a bit of room to work. Saturn opposes Juno, so partnerships can be rocky, rocky, rocky today. You might find out something about a partnership that makes you pause. Look at the bigger picture when making your decisions. And focus on what you are creating, not the problems before you. Open up the triangles or invite a third party into the story to help you sort out what is going on. Ping pong balls of emotional upset are flying today. Saturn is grinding in our emotions via the Capricorn moon. Pay attention and try not to react. Watch for the ping pong ball and ask it to help you get clear on what you want. It seems to shift so fast, but there's a truth in there if you look for it. It does fly straight, fast, and true. Thursday finds a bit of emotional relief, either tears or joy or perhaps a bit of both. Saturn is stopped. Listen to your inner wisdom today. Attempt to ground the energy through solid physical labor or efforts. Capricorn moon is pushing on you to understand the patterns and how they serve you. Don't be harsh on yourself. Notice the patterns. Decide if the pattern still serves you. If it doesn't serve you, take a teeny tiny step to change it. Or simply don't do the old behavior. Not doing old behaviors changes the pattern. Don't react the way you usually do. Start to play ping pong again. Boy, that ball flies fast. Friday, the Aquarius moon illuminates in a very detached and intellectual manner as puzzle pieces fall into place. Saturn is stopped and grinding in on the degree of his station. Time is stopped as Saturn rules time. Like a freeze frame in a movie, you see something today you never noticed before. Notice it. Absorb it. Venus has aspects with Neptune and Chiron, Uranus, and Jupiter. While what you got clear on during Venus's retrograde still applies, you are living in the real world too. How does that Venusian vision, those desires and dreams, still hold on to your heart? How do they still apply to what you want? How can those Venusian visions be adjusted a bit to better serve you and create what you want? The patterns in your life only need to shift a teeny tiny bit to get there. Honest. Focus and shift. Focus and shift. Venus in Aries can find a way to do it. She's inventive, creative, and very, very clear. So let the Venus make the adjustments she needs to make. Give her a free hand. Saturn invests to fight change, so changes in the home or office are to be expected. Wherever you call home or your nest, stuff or people needs to be adjusted, cleaned, or let go of. Ping pong of emotions and desires today. On Saturn's day, Saturn stops and turns direct. While Saturn will still be stopped for a few days, his forward movement officially begins today. The story that needs to culminate culminates now, today. It's finished. Today, it is finished. Today, the sun steps into aspect with Jupiter, Uranus, Chiron, and Neptune. So you get it on a soul level. Don't be afraid to look. Don't be afraid to see what you see, even through the tears in your eyes. Sun's parallel union with the North Node of Destiny holds out its hand to you and says, come on, come with me. We're moving on now. It's over. Neptune makes the patterns less and more meaningful as they integrate somehow into your being. You get it. You get it. And once you get it, you can never go back to not knowing again. Ping pong, ping pong. Sunday, that is not to say that it's entirely finished. It's over, but it's not finished, if you know what I mean. Mercury's going to attempt to negotiate with you. He thinks if he keeps the communication ball moving that somehow, some way, something will change. Keep your focus. Kind of like learning how a magic trick works, things shift in the way you see the trick go down now. Having a new take, losing your innocence, getting a new understanding of the role of illusion and happily ever after follows once we see things in a new light. Mercury repeats his aspects from Tuesday to Jupiter, Uranus, and Venus, but this time Mercury is on your side of the argument. Back to that fast-flying ping-pong ball. I know once more over the net. To get the story, you have to understand the purpose of duality. You need duality to get any story. There had to be a villain who caused problems so you would take the action you took. No, not really, but when you are unconscious, there has to be a villain. That's how you motivate yourself. Now that you're more conscious, you don't need a villain to prevent you from getting what you want. You can motivate yourself all by yourself. No villain needed or in sight. Sun has an aspect of brilliance to Pluto. There needs to be resistance to push against to grow. Reframe it and think of the duality as resistance instead of what you're thinking of it as. How has duality resistance helped you? How has duality and resistance hindered you? Are you clear? Again, back to the duality of the ping pong ball. You need someone to hit the ball over the net to you. Now that the game is finished, you can go and do something else. Or you can play the next game of ping pong with a new person. Or another game with an old person. Once you are clear, you are clear. On a mundane level, which is the astrology of the world, Saturn is stationing exactly square to the degree he was at on September 11th or 9/11/2001. Expect 9/11 stories to pop up, and bubble to the surface. As Saturn reaches the degree of 9/11 last week, we got to see the photo taken on the recent flyover photo op. The guy who arranged for the photo of Air Force One flying over the Statue of Liberty resigned his position. He resigned his position for not thinking we citizens of New York City might be scared by a 747 chased by two fighter planes buzzing the Statue of Liberty. Of course, that resignation reminds us to question, where was NORAD on 9/11? Why didn't NORAD chase the four big old airplanes making U-turns in the sky for hours? Why didn't anyone resign over that catastrophe? No resignations happened, even as the president was warned in the presidential daily briefing on August 6, 2001, a month before 9/11, that Osama bin Laden was preparing to attack us with planes. So expect to hear 9/11 related news this week, probably a big reveal. Maybe we'll finally catch Osama bin Laden with our current bombing of Pakistan? All those millions, billions, and trillions we spent on a war in Iraq where Osama wasn't living, so we never found him. We let Osama go in Tora Bora, Afghanistan, when we had him in our net. Maybe Obama will catch Osama? The degree of the station this week is the degree of the market collapse and Lehman's bankruptcy last fall. Expect major news around the stock market and the financial markets. If stuff is going to further collapse, it goes south this month, this week, or next. Saturn station offers people who are hanging on to the last bits of life an opportunity to let go and cross over to the other side. Expect sad news about iconic and leadership people in our culture this week and next. Brooke Astor's son's trial was the front page news in New York City. Her son stands accused of letting her sit in rags on a urine-filled couch, stealing her money, transferring titles to her properties, selling valuable paintings that were promised to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and forging a new codicil to her will so he inherited all of her money. The will change allowed him to give money to his third wife when he died instead of it going to the museum and the charities Mrs. Astor had promised it to. The trial is all rather tacky, tawdry, and sad. It reminds us that even the richest among us can be vulnerable and taken advantage of by our loved ones. Her friends stepped in to take over her physical guardianship when her grandson sought their help to stop his father from abusing his grandmother. The district attorney got involved when the matter was not settled quietly. It became apparent during the legal fight over guardianship that forgery, felony, and other offenses might have taken place. I loved Mrs. Astor's poems. One of them was, when I go from here, I want to leave behind me the world richer for the experience of me. I want to store up riches in the wind and leave blessings traveling upward to the stars. I want to leave my roots in the grass. I want the tears that I have shed for the sake of high love to come again as dew. Big fires in California, rain, rain, rain in the east, and many mile-long banks of thunderstorms rolling east through the south from Oklahoma to Georgia with 130-mile-an-hour winds can all be attributed to Jupiter and Neptune joining up, expanding the wind, expanding the rain, expanding the electrical nature of change. More to come. It's going to be a wicked weather summer. Additionally, the sun is entering, a busier period of increased sunspots. Astronomers and weather people have noticed sunspots affect us here on Earth in 11-year cycles. That is Jupiter at work, folks. When the sun sneezes, it's the Earth that gets sick. So from the internet, a report by the National Academy of Sciences found that if a storm as severe as the one in 1859 occurred today, it could cost $1 trillion to $2 trillion in damage the first year and take 4 to 10 years to recover. The 1859 storm shorted out telegraph wires, causing fires in North America and Europe, sending readings of Earth's magnetic field soaring and produced northern lights so bright that people could read their newspapers by the light. Sunspots on the sun knock out telegraph wires here on Earth? Could that be astrology? The planetary changes affect us here on Earth? Today, there is a lot more than telegraph lines at stake. Vulnerable electrical grids circle the globe. Satellites, now vital for all forms of communication, can be severely disrupted, along with the global positioning system. While the most extreme events seem unlikely this time, there will probably be smaller-scale disruptions to electrical service, airline flights, GPS signals, television, radio, and cell phones. The last solar minimum occurred in December, the researchers said. The economist William Stanley Jevons suggested there's a relationship between sunspots and crises in business cycles. He reasoned that sunspots affect Earth weather, which in turn influences crop yields and therefore the economy. That definitely sounds like astrology. Sunspots affect stuff on Earth. Sounds like astrology to me. It has been speculated that there may be a resonant gravitational link between a photospheric tidal force from the planets and the dominant component by summoning gravitational tidal force, 75% being Jupiter's, with an 11-year cycle. Well, those are fancy-dancy words that sure sound like astrology to me. Gravitational tidal forces. Research has shown surprising correlations between sunspot activity and human health and behavior. Definitely astrology. Mutations in the influenza virus. Didn't we just have a whole big swine flu thing? And subsequent flu pandemics correlate to sunspot peaks. During no less than 17 of the last solar cycles, sunspot peaks, say that three times fast, precede increased flu activity, including the 1918-1919 Spanish flu pandemic, which followed a sunspot peak in 1917. During at least five of these periods, the influenza A virus underwent antigenic shifts that allowed the virus to bypass built-up immunity in the population. Research conducted by the Biometeorological Research Center in the Netherlands supports the proposition that solar activity causes lower human immunity. 30 years of research using 740,000 male subjects shows that blood sedimentation rates and resulting albumin and gamma globulin rates changes with the sunspot cycle. Now that is definitely astrology. Our new swine flu antigenic shift and the potential pandemic is tied to sunspots. Researchers have also discovered a correlation between human longevity and the amount of sunspot activity during the mother's birth year. The average person lives 2 to 3 years longer if their mother was born during a sunspot minimum. That's pretty cool. The sun is presently at a markedly heightened level of sunspot activity and was last similarly active over 8,000 years ago. Sunspots were rarely observed during the second part of the 17th century, which coincides with a period of cooling known as the Little Ice Age. Oh, great. The sun is going to contribute even more to global warming with its heightened level of sunspot activity? Wow. I don't know, folks. Going to be fun. And then I have some viewer mail, so I'll read a couple of those before we go off the air. We're getting to the end of the half hour. Annette wrote, I didn't understand last week's column. Would you explain the whole double negative thing? Essentially, it's a lot of switching back and forth with people changing their mind, decisions, and directions as reflected by the planet switching. Because of the retrogrades, much of what you think you know, you don't really know, or you know part of, and other things keep falling into place. Information and decision-making keeps changing, swirling, and moving around you. Think in terms of weeks. The week of May 4th, Mercury's direct, Saturn's retrograde, return of people saying they have changed. The week of May 11th, Saturn retrograde, Saturn station, Mercury retrograde, Saturn stationing, oops, maybe not, maybe they're still not clear changed, or do I even still want them? May 16th, Saturn stations and goes direct. You are ready to move forward with your life. The week of May 18th, Mercury retrograde, Saturn direct, consideration, 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 and Mercury dives into the fog of Neptune, Jupiter, Chiron, joining them. Nothing is particularly clear. The mind is still foggy and cloudy, but moving forward, because Saturn's moving forward. The week of May 25th, Mercury retrogrades towards the station. Saturn direct and Neptune, Jupiter meet. Foggy as hell, but you are going forward and probably the reverse of what you thought you wanted. On May 29th, Neptune stations and goes retrograde, so your dream shifts. May 30th, Mercury stations and goes direct. You change your mind yet again. The week of June 1st, Mercury's direct and Saturn's direct, now full steam ahead as the planets are moving forward. New dream is much clearer. Antonio wrote, I was wondering if you could address how Mercury retrograde in Gemini might affect the potential flu pandemic. The potential flu pandemic will resurface a few more times as Neptune, Jupiter, and Chiron meet up in the heavens three times this year. All are in Aquarius, the collective sign of groups, as well as fixed air. The virus is sped through the air. It isn't going to any place. We're going to see it back in the news at the end of May, July, and December. The symbolism is Neptune, influenza, infections, hospital illness, in fixed air lungs, breathing groups, joins with Jupiter, lots of, expands, gets bigger, the collective, with Chiron, wounding. Plus, the sunspots offer an opportunity for it to evolve and be more dangerous. Mercury retrograde in Gemini made the powers that be change how dangerous it would be to us. Things change during a retrograde, often reverse when Mercury goes direct. Expect an update or modification at the end of the month when Jupiter and Neptune meet and Mercury squares them for part two, retrograde. Any new pathogen is dangerous to communities or populations that haven't experienced it before. Europeans' explorations of the New World exposed Native American populations to smallpox, which devastated their cultures, people, and tribes, and allowed easy conquest. Chinese traders in Hawaii introduced leprosy to the islands, taking down the ancient kingdom and creating the need for the leper colony Molokai. The AIDS epidemic still kills thousands every year. Mary Beth wrote, I really enjoy your weekly weather report, but the political commentary at the end really upsets me. This last one really took the cake. When you equated waterboarding terrorists, people who can and will kill us if given half an opportunity, to a child stealing candy from a store. These terrorists strap bombs on mentally challenged people and blow them up in a car bomb. Do you really think if we ask nicely they'll stop? Please. I know you're a bleeding heart liberal, but I still enjoy your column, but not the political commentary. If it continues, I will have to go somewhere else. So I said, skip the mundane section. You don't have to read that part. The reason the mundane section is at the bottom of my column, in a separate section labeled mundane astrology, is so people who don't agree can completely skip my politics, the astrology, and the political prognostications. That said, it is my column on my website. I can put my politics and personal opinions in it. I worked really hard in therapy to be able to say that, too. I want you to know this, people. I completely respect your right not to read my views by letting you know where they are. Plain astrology on the top, mundane astrology on the bottom, gets more of my politics plus astrology. I do have a lot of Aquarius influences in my chart. Regarding my political commentary upsetting you, it's always good for the soul and mind to hear how and what the other side thinks and says. I listen to Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, watch Fox News, and read the Murdoch New York Post to find out how and what the other side, selfish, whiny, white, drug addict, scared, male, fake Christian conservative idiots, are thinking and saying. Try it. It's fun. Besides, yelling at my column will prevent swine flu. You'll exercise your lungs. Regarding taking the cake, my mother marched me back into the store when I stole to make me pay for my crime. She made me appreciate stealing was wrong. I was suggesting that rather than spending a pile of money on prosecuting the people who admitted they tortured or authorized it, or even bothering to spend money to investigate, and then decide not to prosecute, interesting slip, just do the karmic equivalent of what my mother did. We have the memos that say they did it. It's completely against international law and our country's laws to torture people. We have photos. We have videotapes. They confessed. So what I think we should do is march the torturer, as well as the people who wrote the memos saying torture was okay, as a policy for the United States to follow, over to Gitmo and waterboard them each 266 times to atone for the torture of others. That way the karmic scales are balanced, the matter is closed, it's an eye for an eye, or perhaps better said, a waterboard for a waterboard. I bet they won't torture anyone anymore if they are waterboarded 266 times. I bet no one who follows in any subsequent administration ever tortures either, as they know they will be tortured in return. I certainly never stole candy again. Trust me, it works. It's a solution that works. And I will admit that Failsafe is one of my all-time favorite books. Even though I'm a bleeding heart liberal and white feminist, anti-war, anti-torture, pro-choice, pro-gay marriage, pagan-loving, astrology-practicing, Roman Catholic gal, you gotta balance the karmic scale or it comes back to bite you in the butt. Sometimes the karmic balancing process isn't pleasant or pretty, but balanced it needs to be. And on that note, I wish you all a lovely week. Remember, Saturn is stationing. You're going to be crazy. You're going to feel like you're bouncing around like a ping pong ball. So take a deep breath and just know it will be over soon. Take care. So long and farewell. Bye.